Thank you very much. Hope everyone there is well, too.
I appreciate that. All right, so let's talk about what happened with Bubba Wallace. Yesterday, weekend. First of all, there are cameras in the garages, correct?
It's a great question. There normally are. And I think the question is, this Talladega garage area was just built in last summer. And so there's a huge fan area, and fans can actually virtually go, and I mean, they can look in the garage. They can, they're just separated by a fence. So we think that there should be some security cameras there, but with no fans, they may not have been active. And then the other issue is that NASCAR typically brings a lot of cameras with them, sets them up for areas that, where they do inspections and other areas in the garage, just to monitor, to make sure there's nothing crazy going on in the garage. But because of their COVID-19 protocols, they've had fewer people at the track, and it's my understanding that a lot of those cameras haven't been used over the last 5 or 6 weeks. You would think if they had camera footage of the noose in Bubba Wallace's garage, that they would have possibly have taken action already against the person who did it.
I was going to say, if there were cameras like that, you would think there would be an open and shut case. I know Willie T. Ribbs was interviewed last night. He said he's not surprised by any of this. Are you surprised by it?
You know, it's a great question. I was 22 years old, standing on the grid in Indianapolis when Willie T. Ribbs became the first black driver to make it into the Indy 500. And you think, man, you know, this is progress. And now 29 years later, you see this and you say, well, how much progress have we made as a society? I'm surprised, just mainly because this is an area that's so controlled at the moment because of COVID-19. NASCAR screens everybody who goes in. They have them fill out forms. There should only be 800 or 900 people there. You're talking the crews, NASCAR officials, EMS, some vendors who do parts and pieces for the teams, and some track security and some track cleaning people. So in that sense, I'm surprised. But look, you know that we still have a ways to go in society.
Which, of course, there was the Confederate flag flown over Talladega. First of all, what did you think about NASCAR's ruling on the Confederate flag? And in your opinion, what is the reception to it?
Well, I think when all the drivers create a video a couple weeks ago about how they're going to advocate for a change and take a stand against racism and racial inequality, and NASCAR president, you know, says the same. He says the sport has to change. The country has to change. But when the next day, when Bubba Wallace comes out and says, well, NASCAR needs to ban the Confederate flag, I don't know that NASCAR had much choice, right? Because if they don't do something, then their words just are totally hollow. And so they knew that they were going to have to take action. This was probably one of the actions they planned on taking. Maybe it came sooner than what they had planned, but I think it was something that they knew they had to do, and they knew that there was going to be people who were upset. You know, I believe a group called the Sons of Confederate Veterans has taken a responsibility for flying the flag over the track in the few hours before the race was scheduled to be run. There were some, group of, maybe a couple of dozen protesters standing outside track grounds over the weekend. But, NASCAR knew that was going to happen. They know they are going to, that there's going to be a time where they're going to have to ask somebody, to remove the flag, and they'll be tested on whether, you know, what do they do if this person refuses? Do they make them take down the flag? Do they just evict them immediately? You know, they have all those things they need to decide. And then you're talking about also people wearing shirts and hats and belt buckles and those kinds of things, and how will NASCAR react, I think, is still in some ways to be determined.
So let's talk about how NASCAR reacted yesterday. How powerful a moment, in your opinion, was the support behind Bubba Wallace before the race began?
Well, it was the ultimate, you know, we've got your back moment, right? It was the ultimate, you know, look, we support you. And, you know, one of the drivers said today that, you know, Bubba said to them all, I know half of you love me and half of you hate me, but I'm appreciative of you all supporting me, you know. Right. As typically, as like any race car driver, you have your friends, and you have the people, yeah, who you've gotten into run-ins on the racetrack, and they have differences of opinion. But I think it showed that the drivers have a power when they are united, and that they can speak as a group. You know, there's just so few of them. There's 40 of them, and typically they don't agree on a lot, but you know, when someone does something in your home, which is their garage area, yeah, it's not just something that's against, obviously it's focused on Bubba, but it's a signal to all of them, and I think that they reacted you know, in a way that they wanted to show their support, and they wanted to show that the, for lack of a better term, the idiots are not going to win.
Bob, I believe what they let some fans into Homestead, correct? Military?
Yeah, they let some fans into Homestead, a few thousand into Talladega, but then no fans, obviously, for Pocono in the next few weeks until they'll have some fans at Texas.
Okay. Has there been any indication about their comfort level with doing this? Are they getting more comfortable with the possibility, or are they still about the same as they were a month ago?
I think NASCAR is comfortable with having fans. They want to have fans. I think it's a matter of the states that they are in and what's permissible and what's not. And I don't think, I get the feeling that whatever the states will allow them to do, they'll do. You know, in Texas, they haven't even set a certain amount of fans that they can have in there because they want to be able to seat families together. So, you know, so they won't really know how many seats they have available until they know, like, well, are we talking about groups of two, or, you know, will we have some groups of eight? And obviously, if you can have eight people together and then the next group 6 feet apart, you can have more people than if it's just, you know, two people together, 6 feet apart, another two people, 6 feet apart, another two people.
What has impressed you about the restart to this season?
I would say that what's impressed me is that the racing has probably been a little bit better than I expected. You know, I thought that the big teams would just run away with these races because of the resources they have, but you've been able to see the Richard Childress Racing teams and they have an alliance with Richard Petty Motorsports and Bubba Wallace, and you know, you've seen the two RCR cars and Bubba's car have run pretty well over the last month. So I think to me that's the kind of the most impressive thing, is that it hasn't just been, you know, a case where, well, you know, the big teams always have the advantage. You know, at Martinsville, you saw most of the Gibbs cars, except for Truex, who won, you know, had awful days. So I think that there's something to be said, you know, when you don't have practice, that, you know, there are going to be teams that are going to hit on the setup, and then their teams are going to miss. And while most likely it'll be the big teams that do come through in the end, there's still a little bit more of a kind of a little bit more of a roll the dice factor.
Are there any differences like, is any team a little bit better now than before the stoppage, where, you know, they're kind of going along okay at the stoppage, but now they're racing a lot better? Who might that be right now? And then at the other end, who's actually fallen back a bit from the early part of the season to the stoppage?
Yeah, I think that the latter is easier to talk about, because you look at a guy like Kyle Busch, just hasn't. He's a guy who loves, who just thrives on having practice and being able to make those small changes to make his car great for Sundays, and he just hasn't had that. I think on the other end, you know, you look at a rookie like Tyler Reddick. He doesn't really know what he's supposed to feel. He just goes out and races, and so I think, you know, that. He's like, okay, I'm not. He's not looking for anything specific, so he kind of thrives in this environment, and it'll be interesting to see in Pocono this weekend. I would expect Kyle Busch to be much better on Sunday than he is on Saturday, because he's going to have about 325 miles, quote unquote, practice on Saturday for Sunday. While Tyler Reddick, he might not be able to point his team into what improvements they need to make for Sunday.
But you know what? Sometimes, look, I think experience makes such a big difference, but there is something to be said for, yeah, okay, let's just go. let's just go. I have no problem with that. you know, when you look at the state of the sport right now, how important is not just this year, because they got back first, but how important is next year to set the sport up for the future, because they've wanted to make so many good faith changes?
Yeah, well, I think it all depends on what type of schedule changes they can make, because, you know, originally they were hoping to debut this new next-gen car in 2021, but they've had to push that debut back to now 2022. But, you know, they do hope to have, you know, a different schedule, hope to have a few different racetracks. They've already announced that they're going to go to Nashville Super Speedway for a race, take a race from Dover and move it there. So I think it really depends on what new markets they can go to and what type of, you know, what type of racing they can put on in those facilities, you know, especially like if they do a street course or a different road course or a new short track, you know, who might thrive in those situations.
I have to ask one last question. Now, growing up, when I'd watch racing, you would get in the car and the first one to get to 500 miles, 400, or in Charlotte, 600 wins. I'm not quite on board with the stage deal. How do you feel about that?
I like the stage deal because I feel like it creates an urgency in the race.
Okay.
I feel like that it, you're like, okay, these guys have something to race for in the first 50 or 60 laps, and I like time to go get snacks. So I like stages for all those things, and you know, and it can be frustrating, but you know, the other point of stages is, you know, that it creates a break. They take at most races, you know, you'll have a couple of laps of caution, which I know frustrates people, but it's time for commercials, and it's a way for, you know, us on Fox and FS1 when we're showing races to potentially show more green flag racing, and you know, and so I think that's a plus. Again, I know, you know, look, if you've been watching racing all your life, you're like, why are we just stopping the race? It just doesn't make sense. But I liked it, I think it's created an urgency during a race that I think creates some interest, and certainly it works at some tracks and not as much as others.
Well, let me put it this way: I also feel, you talk about green flag racing. I felt like so far in the restart, there's been more green flag racing than I've seen in a long time. The racing's been pretty good. Hey, Bob, thanks so much. I really appreciate the time you gave us today and the insight you gave us as well. Really appreciate it.
All right, thank you, and looking forward to seeing some racing at Pocono.